Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala. And again, we are joined by guest, Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, who is no stranger to the broadcast. We are right in the middle of our series, Living Our Faith in a Faithless World, and we're actually studying the life of Noah. Before we even get to Noah, we've been talking a little bit about the context in which a Noah-like faith must live itself out, and we've kind of been comparing that to our own context. And so in this particular broadcast, we want to get into the parameters of that kind of a life. What kind of boundaries set apart a life that pleases God? And Doc, you have a very interesting way of helping us to see that. You talk about our life being lived between a parenthesis. And what is that parenthesis and how do we get it?
Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. The two words, by faith, lock this verse in. By faith is at the beginning and by faith is at the end. There's a parenthesis on each side. And what's locked in between those parentheses is pretty powerful. Sometimes when you're writing, you will make a parenthetical statement. It's not your main flow, but to highlight this, you put parentheses to make a parenthetical statement. And I see these two words, by faith, as parenthetical because it's locking in some powerful truth.
And it's focusing our attention on the person who demonstrates and displays that truth.
Yes. Now, we considered Enoch. He lived by the fact that God is and God rewards. Well, Noah demonstrates this in detail. We have the testimony of Christ in the New Testament in 1st and 2nd Peter, the testimony of the writers of the New Testament, even the testimony of Christ, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be. But we have a lot of evidence in the New Testament of the authenticity of these lives. But Noah particularly, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God. Now, in that I see the word of God. That's the basis of our faith. God's word is truth. Now, how did Noah know what was coming?
God told him.
What does it mean, Noah being warned? So you take that verb warned. He was told by God. So what was the basis of Noah's activity? It was faith.
It was faith in something. It was the word of God. Which
yes.
That's under attack now. Mm-hmm. Like it's always been under attack. Enoch was taken, but Noah wasn't taken, so he gets to live the rest of his life not taken.
Yes.
He gets to live the rest of his life trying to flesh out what this faith thing is.
And that's where we are.
Yeah, exactly.
We're left.
Because we're not taken yet.
Well, and the interesting thing about the word that warned him, and we're told right in verse 7, he was warned by God of things not seen. So, I mean, nobody had ever seen rain before. Nobody had ever seen a flood before. Now we see rain regularly, and we hear about floods all the time. But in Noah's day, they had never seen anything like that. Well, you think about the things that a person of faith, I love the idea of the parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to live your life believing what God said about things like creation.
Well, you look at the first three verses. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what?
Things not seen.
And then, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He goes back to the faith. So Noah gets told this by God, that there is going to come a flood. Mm-hmm. The world is going to be covered in water, including the mountains. That's the only basis. There was no evidence before. There was no scientific proof. If somebody had come to him and said, Noah, you've got to use the scientific method with me, or I'm not going to believe a word you say. He only had the word of God. Now, how do we live? Romans 10:17, what is it? Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
It is no different for how we live in this non-faith culture.
I see this as a pastor, and Wynn, I'm sure you do as well, and I know, Doc, we see it with our students. But more and more and more of our young people, right down from the beginning, as we go into an economic crisis or times get tough, their education is increasingly happening in a secular context where these facts that we read about in the Old Testament are undermined. They literally come to church on Sunday and hear us talk about stories, the story of Noah, the story of Abraham. And really, they're facts, but in their mind, story, and they go to school and they learn facts. And the facts they learn are, well, that couldn't have happened. Creation didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So the very things that we're talking about here are being undermined. And this parenthesis doc that you talk about by faith is going to have to become something that we increasingly build into people.
It seems like every time you say faith, it really is a matter of taking God at His word. And I don't need something demonstrable necessarily to have faith, but the faith is actually saying, I take God at His word. This is what God said. And if it is counter to the culture, if it makes me different than the culture, if my lifestyle is different than the culture, if trusting God when it seems impossible and seemingly no one else is doing it, okay, God said, and I believe. It's almost circular to say that about faith, but that's what it is. It's like, this is what God said, and I just believe it.
They operate circular. I start from an absolute premise. I work back to an absolute premise. Mm-hmm. A non-absolute, it starts from a non-absolute premise. He works back to a non-absolute mm-hmm. premise. But his problem is, his premise has already moved before he gets back, and he has to look for it again.
Yeah.
Where ours never moved. Doc Horn, why don't you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, because I think it's a New Testament affirmation of the authenticity of the Word, so believers today can realize that what they are holding in their hands and on their laps in church is the absolute Word of God, His revelation to us.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
So what is our basis of faith?
Belief on the word.
The word of God. That incorruptible seed that is the basis of our salvation. Now let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and read verse 19 and following for us. I believe if you started with verse 17, because this is exciting affirmation again of what the Word of God is for us today.
Peter said this, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Talking there, I think, about the Transfiguration.
Yes. Talk.
And then he goes on in verse 19, "In spite of all of this wonderful experience, we have also a more sure word of prophecy." Speaking of the Old Testament prophecies about this. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost."
Isn't that a significant phrase? We were eyewitnesses, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have something more sure than being an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Because my eyewitness may be flawed. You get 15 people in a room together watching the same event, and you'll get 15 different reports about what they saw. My perspective may be wrong. If I'm standing next to Dr. Kimbrough, and he is between me and a campus truck, he is taller than that campus truck because of my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I walked towards the truck, and I thought, Kimbrough's way smaller than that truck. Mm-hmm. We have a more sure word, something more sure than having seen it. We have the inspired Word of God, that no prophecy of His private interpretation, holy men of God spake as they were moved. So the Word of God has integrity, it has illumination, it is incomparable, and it is inspired.
And we struggle to believe it, and we come by that struggle honestly. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were describing a particular individual, and they knew that person's father and said, you know, the apple doesn't really fall far from the tree. Well, when we talk about Adam and we look at our own propensity to disbelieve, the apple hasn't fallen very far from the tree. We struggle to believe God's word. And this is what's so interesting about the passage, Doc, we read. This is the word of God that has come to you by the gospel. And we have to believe what God said. And if we can't believe that God created the world in seven literal days, how in the world are we going to believe a much bigger thing that his son paid for our sins?
That's why the Word of God has integrity. That's what Noah trusted. We know that it has inspiration. Mm-hmm. Literally, God breathed. We know that it is incomparable. There's nothing else like it. But all Noah had, he couldn't turn to 2 Peter 3:16. Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. He could turn to, God, I obey. I know who you are. This is what you told me, and I believe God.
And, Doc, that goes to your point about what seeking God diligently is. It's not like we lost God and we're on this hunt to try to find him. It's that he's with us constantly revealing himself in his word, and we're literally having to make day-by-day choices that please him, like Noah did.
1 Peter 1:8, that's where I was preaching from recently, where Peter wrote to these persecuted believers, and he said, whom having not seen you love. But in the context, whenever he says that, he is talking about they love him because they knew him intimately. In verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The persecuted believers, they loved Jesus with all their heart, and it was all about faith, even though they were in the midst of persecution. To me, this all ties in, all these little ends that are dangling out there when it comes to, okay, well, what is faith, and what does it mean, and where does it work out in my life? Well, I'm going to love Jesus no matter what the issue or persecution or situation is.
2 Timothy 3:16, all
Scripture
is
given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
In order that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
Yeah.
We have no other basis of operation except the inspired word of God.
Mm.
If we go to man's logic, we get confused. If we listen to all of the questioners, we think, well, maybe there's a problem there. But when we go back to God, that's why I have lived so much in Hebrews chapter 11 in phases of my ministry, because I'm thinking I've made some decisions. Am I wrong about that? Then I look at the patterns in the scripture and I think, oh, I am way away from where those guys, I'm in the boldness of their steps. And so the Word of God is the basis of our faith.
And that's important because of the next thing we're going to talk about, because of our worship. Our worship has to come out of our basis of word living. But that'll have to be for the next broadcast because we're all out of time on this one. I trust that the series is a blessing to you, and I hope you'll join us next time as we continue talking about living our faith in a faithless world. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.